Chapter 4, Writing in the Biological Sciences Formal Scientific Documents. The structure of typical scientific documents, such as journal articles and scientific reports. Introductory idea. Scientific journal articles, lab reports, and similar documents are more or less written with approximately the same style requirements. However, each publisher, employer, or instructor may require variations from the general style requirements described in this section. The idea is to learn the general style requirements so you can understand the specific requirements demanded by publications, employers, and instructors for the various types of scientific documents. In general, a small to modest modification of the style explained below can satisfy the style requirements for most journal articles, lab reports, and similar scientific documents. However, you must evaluate the requirements in each situation before you start writing. Structure and style requirements for journal articles and similar scientific documents. Most journal articles and similar scientific documents require a descriptive title, an abstract, followed by an introduction in the beginning of the document. This is followed by the main body text consisting of the following section: methods and materials, results, and discussion. At the end of the discussion, there is a conclusion that may contain recommendations for future research. This is followed by acknowledgments, literature cited, and the appendices. This is somewhat oversimplified, and the following paragraphs will provide more detail. The passive and active voice in scientific documents. The passive voice is generally used to describe experiments. For example, the chicken eggs were injected with the virus and allowed to incubate for 6 days. Most publishers, employers, and instructors, in this case, would consider the active voice incorrect. This appears to be the result of tradition, but it might also be quite practical in some cases. That is, the passive voice conceals the individuals who carried out the steps of the experiment, which in some cases may be carried out by many individuals, including students. The writer of the research may not even know who performed the various tasks involved with the experiment. In addition, the passive voice conveys the idea that the research and the results obtained are independent of any individual. This implies that others can duplicate the experiment if they have appropriate knowledge, the needed staff, and the required equipment. However, from a purely practical point of view, the above could be precisely stated in the active voice as: we injected the chicken eggs with the virus, and then we put the eggs in an incubator for 6 days. Nevertheless, it is generally necessary to follow the style requirements that are imposed on you, whatever they may be, if you want to have your work accepted. This can sometimes be dysfunctional, as explained in the previous chapter, especially when there are absolute requirements. However, it is usually easier to write technical material in the passive voice. A descriptive title that describes the content of the document. The title should describe the article in an accurate way to the potential readers. Sometimes it is even possible to delineate the outcome of the research in the title. This usually necessitates a relatively long title. However, you should not make the title any longer than necessary to achieve the above objectives. When you are creating your title, keep in mind both the reader and computer searching devices. If you use search engines frequently on the internet, this might intuitively help you to create titles that will be appropriately picked up by computerized searching devices. Your title should contain keywords that relate to the content of the article. This also involves avoiding words in your title that will mislead search engines or the reader. A technique that I sometimes use when creating titles is to provide a descriptive title and subtitle. This involves a title that describes the material, which is followed by a subtitle that clarifies the description in the title and/or provides additional information. This is especially useful if you write books or any other document where you have the freedom to use this technique. With most scientific journal articles, a subtitle probably would not be acceptable by potential publishers. In magazine articles for the general public, sensational titles might be considered desirable by the publisher. However, in scientific journal articles and similar documents, sensational titles should not be intentionally created. Sometimes the title will sound sensational, even if that was not your objectives. When this is the case, if the material is not truly revolutionary, were of great value, or as sensational as implied by the title, it might be best to reword the title. There are many other ways that titles can be inappropriate, which are too subtle to describe. Asking knowledgeable colleagues can help you evaluate the appropriateness of a title. However, the title is not an extremely critical portion of the document, because it can be changed at any time, by the writer or publisher. It is even sometimes feasible to provide several titles to a publisher, and let them choose which is most appropriate. The above does not imply that the initial title is not important, because a poorly written title may interfere with an appropriate evaluation of your work. An inadequate title can even convince a publisher not to review your article. The name of the writer and credentials and affiliations after the title. The author of the article presents his name, credentials, and the relevant organizations that he or she has been involved with, such as universities, hospitals, research organizations, etc. If these credentials and affiliations are impressive, it might help in getting the article published, and it may also attract readers to the article once it is published. However, some scientific publications review potential articles for their journals blindly, which usually consists of concealing the author's name, credentials, and affiliations. This is done to be certain that the reviewers evaluate the article and related research by its content and quality, and not by the author's previous achievements or prestige. Placing the writer's credits and affiliations in one location in the document make it easier for potential publishers to either conceal the information for a blind review or to evaluate it for publishers that have the opposite philosophy. An abstract for scientific documents. The abstract is a short summary of the article, and it includes the experimental results. The abstract is usually the first thing that a person reads, after the title of the article. A well-written abstract is very important and quite useful for anyone that is searching through scientific literature. It reveals the content of the article and the results of research in a few sentences, or about 150 to 300 words. This helps the reader decide if they have found the right information, and if they should invest time, and in some cases money, to read the entire article. Abstracts of journal articles are especially useful for people doing research on the internet. That is, it is important to understand the contents of an article from the abstract before reading the main article, because most journals charge a substantial fee to obtain a copy of an article or read it on the internet, unless you are a subscriber to the journal. This can range from $10 to $40, depending on the journal and the article. Writing a good abstract can sometimes be quite difficult. The reason for this is the writer is often faced with objectives that are contradictory. This involves explaining a complex experiment or scientific study in reasonable detail, but very briefly. It is sometimes not possible to obtain these contradictory objectives, especially when a publication has limitations on the number of words you can use in an abstract. The best strategy is to think of the needs of potential readers of the work. Then write the abstract with this idea in mind. Using the trial and error process, and writing several drafts of the abstract, will probably produce the best results, especially if you can test your efforts on knowledgeable colleagues. Keep in mind, the number of people that read your journal article might be partly determined by the quality of your title and abstract. Scientific documents for in-house assessment of research may contain an executive summary instead of an abstract. Scientific reports delineating the progress of research efforts may be required by employers of engineers, scientists, or other researchers. These reports may be written in a way that is similar to the general description described in this section. However, instead of an abstract, these documents may contain an executive summary. The executive summary might be more or less similar to an abstract, but it may have to be written in layman terminology, so the executive staff that allocates the money for the research can understand the document. To write a good executive summary and an in-house research report, it is necessary to understand your readers and their background. It is usually feasible to obtain such information by asking the executive staff and/or other employees appropriate questions. Scientific documents that are written for in-house assessment of scientific research ideally should be presented to the executive staff in one or more face-to-face meetings. This should be done with the goal of explaining the report, and answering questions. The introduction of a journal article or other scientific document. The introduction usually presents the hypothesis, purpose of the research, or the problem that the research deals with. It may also include a brief history of relevant facts, such as the history of a problem, or prior experiments that dealt with the same or similar problem. This can also involve a brief explanation of how the research or experiment is similar and different to prior experiments. The introduction generally should outline the purpose of the research, such as what questions are to be answered by the research. For example, is drug X useful in treating disease Y, and if it is, how effective is it compared to other drugs? Questions of this type can be answered by experimentation. When creating research plans, it might be a good idea to think of the introduction and the questions that you are trying to answer with your research. Methods and materials section. This section should provide all the information that is needed for a knowledgeable individual with the required resources to reproduce the experiment. This includes the materials, techniques, and equipment used for the experiment. Any procedure, physical location, type of equipment that might have possibly influenced the results should also be stated. This section should provide a reasonable level of detail about the methods and procedures and equipment used for the research. In some cases, describing equipment with the brand name and model number might be relevant. When research is conducted outdoors, the precise locality might be important and should be reported in your document. Also, for outdoor studies, the season and dates are important, as well as the weather conditions during the research. The results section, as the name implies, the results of the research are presented in the results section. The results are presented in an objective way, just as they were obtained from the research. This includes all the data that was obtained, regardless of whether or not it supports your hypothesis or suggests success or failure of your experiment. That is, in this section, the results are just presented, without any interpretations. The implications and interpretations of the results are presented in the discussion section. Should you report extraneous data or noise obtained from your research in the results section? Extraneous data, noise should also be reported in the results section, in most cases, especially if you are not certain of the factors that produced the noise. The reason for this is it is not always possible to be certain what is meaningless data or noise. The concept of noise is relative. This implies that noise can become meaningful data sometimes, if you understand it and know how to interpret it. By presenting this information, you provide the opportunity for others to interpret your results in many different ways, which sometimes leads to new experiments and discoveries. However, in the discussion section, you should indicate or explain what portions of your data you believe to be noise. Very often with this information, others can reproduce your experiment with better controls and equipment that eliminate the uncertainty produced by noise. An explanatory note on extraneous data. What is noise? In case the reader is not familiar with the concept of noise, as discussed in the previous paragraph, I will explain further. What I mean by extraneous data or noise is data that does not relate to an experiment from the point of view of the researcher, but is obtained during the experiment. For example, a photomicrograph of a newly discovered microorganism can contain noise consisting of tiny bits of debris surrounding the cell. Very often, noise obscures to varying degrees the data that the researcher is looking for. With the above example, the tiny bits of debris can make it more difficult to discern the detailed structure of the cell. However, it may turn out that the tiny bits of debris are significant data, and not noise, at least from the perspective of another researcher. It may turn out that the tiny bits of debris surrounding the cell is its source of nourishment, excreted waste products, or spores produced by the cell. This example illustrates why the extraneous data should be reported. Reducing the level of noise extraneous data in your research will make it easier to write the results section. There are usually various ways of eliminating noise in experimental results, but this should be done with caution, as suggested above. With the above example of the photomicrograph, the noise consisting of the tiny bits of debris could be removed with photo editing software. When noise is eliminated from data in this way, it can still be reported, such as by stating that the micrograph was treated with photo editing software, to remove tiny specks that surrounded the cell, which appeared to be debris. Ideally, the original photograph and the treated one should be displayed in the experimental results. There are also various ways of eliminating noise before it occurs, or reducing it, which is the ideal approach. For example, using a perfectly clean microscope slide with high-quality equipment can prevent noise in photomicrographs. The idea to focus on is to design experiments in such a way that the signal-to-noise ratio is minimized. Focusing on the ideas presented above, and improving the signal-to-noise ratio before the experiment starts, will make it much easier when you are working on the results section of your paper. The discussion section. In the discussion section, the results, and their implications, are discussed. This can involve providing answers to the following questions: what do the results mean? To what extent do the results support your hypothesis? Are the results accurate, or could have the results been influenced by extraneous factors, or less than optimal conditions for the research? Anything else that relates to the results is also presented in the discussion section. Concluding information of a scientific document. The conclusion may or may not be specifically defined as a distinct section in a scientific document. That is, the conclusion may be simply the concluding statements of the discussion section, or it may be a distinct section with a title such as conclusion, summation and conclusion, summation, etc. However, for the purposes of delineation and explanation of writing style, I will treat the conclusion as a distinct section. The conclusion may contain a summing up of the key points of the paper. It can also contain recommendations for the application of the information that was obtained by the experiment, and/or recommendations for future research. The conclusion can also suggest the limitations of the experiment, and how future research can be conducted without the limitations. For example, noise may have interfered with the photomicrographic studies as a result of the inadequacies of the microscope. In such a case, the researcher might conclude his paper by stating that duplicating the experiment with a high-quality microscope or an electron scanning microscope might provide more precise data. The acknowledgement section of a journal article or other scientific document. In the acknowledgement section, thanks or credit may be given to anyone that helped with the research. This can include people that provided advice, the use of facilities or equipment, or any other type of assistance. Scientific documents do not always have an acknowledgement section. Sometimes, the researcher received little or no assistance from others, and thus, there is nobody to give credit to. The literature cited section of a scientific document. The literature cited section provides information on material that was mentioned in your document. Generally, when literature is cited, the author's second name are placed next to the statement, which correspond to additional information in the literature cited section of your document. The author's name may be placed in a footnote in your document, depending on the style requirements that you are dealing with. The literature cited section usually consists of an alphabetical listing of the authors by last name. This allows the reader to find detailed information about the material and author you cited in your work. There are two primary objectives involved with the literature cited section, which should be kept in mind when you are writing this portion of your document. One is to provide credit to the original author of material that was quoted or paraphrased in a scientific document. This is partly done to avoid the misconception that you are taking credit for the works of other authors. The other objective is to provide the reader with the information needed to obtain the original material that was cited. To do this, it is necessary to provide all the information that is needed to obtain the original article. This generally includes the author's name, the title of the work, the publisher of the work, and the date of publication. Exactly how to create a literature cited section in a scientific document is determined by the style requirements that relate to your publisher, employer, or instructor. Works cited in electronic documents. There can be style restrictions in electronic documents that are similar to conventional journal articles. However, in electronic documents, you might have more freedom and versatility in citing the work of other authors, in some cases, especially if you are using your own website to present your material. You can provide hyperlinks under your quoted or paraphrased statement, which can be linked to the works cited section of your document. In the works cited section, you can have hyperlinks to the original work if it is available on the internet. Another alternative, which I believe is the ideal, is to avoid the literature cited section altogether in electronic documents. When this is done, you simply provide any relevant data about the original work, and a hyperlink that takes the reader directly to the original material you cited. The following is one example of how this can be done. The following quote from abacus.bates.edu/Gander So Biology Resources Writing Sections HTML Literature Recited Online Resources for Biology describes the basic structure of the traditional literature cited section. Function: The literature cited section gives an alphabetical listing by first author's last name of the references that you actually cited in the body of your paper. There are many other ways that literature can be cited in electronic documents, providing you are not restricted by style requirements. For example, when a website provides exceptionally useful or interesting information that is relevant to your document, you can state this directly in your text, and provide a hyperlink directly to the source. Appendix of a scientific document's appendices is plural singular is appendix. All scientific documents do not have an appendix. Basically, the appendix is a section where you can place information that is not an essential part of your paper. For example, you can put additional information in the appendix about equipment, procedures, and problems you encounter during your research. You can provide additional explanations about the mathematics and software you used in your experiments. You can place sketches, diagrams, photographs, and any other type of graphics that are not essential to your paper in the appendix. In general, you can probably put almost anything about your research in your appendices that does not fit into the main body of your paper. However, you must be certain that you are not placing essential information in the appendix, because it is a section for supplemental information. The above might incorrectly imply that the appendix is a disorderly place where you can throw superfluous fragments of information. The appendix should be carefully created and organized so the reader can find the information he or she is looking for without great difficulty. Most of the published journal articles I have seen do not have an appendix. The authors may have presented their original work to their publishers with appendices, but this material may have not been published. Publication space in the traditional hardcopy journals is expensive. In addition, it is not wise to put a large amount of non-essential information in any type of hard copy mass-produced document, because it can result in a bulky and confusing journal that is not attractive to its readers. Publishers are of course aware of this, and they will probably not publish appendices in most cases. However, it might be quite sensible and useful to write an appendix for journal articles and other scientific documents that are presented for publication. The reason for this is an appendix can provide publishers and reviewers additional information about your research, which may be important if they suggest that you rewrite your article. This could involve suggestions about providing more detail in your paper, which may involve taking some material from the appendices and putting it in the main body of the text. Appendices are most useful when publication space is irrelevant, such as for in-house scientific documents and for grant proposals. This also sometimes applies to websites, which can provide a hyperlink for the appendices, so it will not interfere with the main text of the document. In the case of in-house documents and grant proposals, there is generally no problem if the appendix is several times longer than the main document, providing it is clearly delineated as a separate unit. For example, if an executive committee or reviewer in a granting agency receives a 60-page document, he or she might reject the proposal just to avoid reading the document. However, if it is clear that the main document is only 5 pages, and the remaining 55 pages is supplemental or optional information in an appendix, they will probably read the 5-page document. They may also thumb through the 55-page appendices and glance at some of the material. When submitting scientific documents with large appendices, it may be advisable to present the main paper as one unit, and the appendices as separate and independent units. This involves the main paper stapled or bound together in a folder. The appendix is bound together in a similar way, as a separate physical entity. With this strategy, the appendix should have its own cover page in this case, with the word appendices and the name of the paper and author. In some cases, it may even be advisable to indicate right on the cover page that the information is optional. To emphasize that the appendices contains additional information that is optional, You can have the main paper and the appendices delivered in separate envelopes. You must determine in each situation what the best strategy is in each situation. Keep in mind what works well for one situation might be inappropriate or dysfunctional for another situation. This actually applies to everything that was discussed in this chapter. For more information, consult the following websites. Websites on writing scientific documents. There are a large number of websites that provide information for writing scientific documents. The following list is an example of some of these websites. If you want more information on writing scientific documents, the hyperlinks in this list will provide the information. There are website links on this page that will not be verbalized.